Hello, I'm Keith Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited to have you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
Turn the page Page 425. He keeps me singing. The words will be on the screen.
Sitting there mad and angry thinking, I want everything my way, my time, my day. But the Holy Spirit, through the preached word of God, began to soften my heart. Now I can say, thank God, He looked beyond my fault. Not just a fault, He looked beyond my sin.
That's right.
But He didn't just look on it in an empty look. He actually did something about it. He became my sin.
Right.
And He died for my sin so that I could have life eternal. So I could be His child. The world today, we want to call everybody a child of God, and that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we must be born again. That our father is the devil. That our father is the father of all lies. But once we are converted, once we are born again, God becomes our father. And I'm so thankful for His grace and His mercy. Tonight, you know, I think about the world around us, and I hear so many things from people, and a lot of times I hear conversations and I hear preachers worrying and thinking, what are we going to do? And I try to be as encouraging and as uplifting as I can in a one-on-one conversation, but sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes I just ask God, Lord, give me a message that would encourage your people as a whole. And we sort of talked about this on Wednesday night from Romans chapter 5, that peace doesn't come from what's going on in this world. It doesn't come from your bank account. It doesn't come from your own health. Peace comes when Jesus comes. When He dwells in you through the Holy Spirit, we have peace that will pass all understanding. And just to prove that, today we're going to look at Daniel chapter 3. Can somebody tell me what Bible story is found in Daniel chapter 3? You learn this from the time you're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. Daniel chapter 3, anybody know?
Daniel in the lion's
den. Daniel in the lion's den? You think that's right? Edit that part out of the video. Anybody know what Daniel chapter 3 is? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel lion's den would fit this perfectly also, though. God delivered Daniel in a tough spot. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's a special story from the Bible. A true story, nonetheless, but a special story to me. There's a song out that was out many years ago when I was younger. Yeah, many years ago when I was younger. 20 years ago. To me, it seems like a long time ago. So I'm going to edit that part out too. 20 years ago.
Longer than that.
20 years ago. There's a song out. I don't know. I think the Spencers or somebody like that from Ohio is saying, "He's still in the fire." And he's walking in the flames. And he'll be there beside you when you go in his name. And I think that 20 years ago that song was okay, but I think that song's more fitting for today. This world is burning with sinful desires. Burning with just satanic forces. And that satanic forces bring forth sin. And let me tell you, we're not up against just a group of people. And I said this when I preached last week down there in Hawkins County. I said, we're not up against a political party. We're not up against a political machine. We're up against Satan.
Amen.
And we are up against those evil spirits that would work against the kingdom of God. And so we better go, not in our own strength and in our own understanding, but we better go in the name of the Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we better not be afraid to take a stand. We better not be afraid to stand up for Jesus. We better not be afraid to say, "I'm one of them." We better not be afraid to say, "Wrong is wrong, right is right." We better not be afraid to do what thus saith the word of the Lord. But before we get to the book of Daniel, I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. What brought this about? Tim this morning led my favorite song. I believe it's in the hymnal. And it's, "I know whom I believe in." I don't know a lot of stuff. Can't tell you the future. Can't tell you right now how to invest your stocks. But I do know whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed to Him against that day, the great day of judgment, against the world, against anything that may come against me. I believe God is able to keep everything that I've committed to Him. What have I committed to? My life. Have you committed your life to Him? You know, it's going to be a dangerous thing to go out in the name of Jesus these next couple of years, these next few years, and not be a committed Christian. Not really be born again. People say, "You want me to doubt my salvation?" No, I want you to make your calling and election sure. I want you to know that you know that you know. If you say, "Well, I've checked that I know," make sure that you know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. If you commit it to Him, He's able to keep it against that day. And then also in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, 28. The Bible says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The worst thing anybody can do to any of us is to ultimately take our life. And then it's over. That's all they can do. You say, well, that's all they can do. That seems like an awful lot to me. But for a child of God, that's the moment that we'll see Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. So whatever they can do, it's nothing to what we'll behold. And tonight, as we look at Daniel chapter 3, you know, they didn't have the benefit of having the written New Testament scriptures, of having the teachings of Jesus, of understanding the things to come and the full lot that Jesus brought it in. But they did have the Holy Spirit. And they did have God to lead them. And in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar said that he was going to build this great idol. Do we have any idols in our land today?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're not 90-foot tall, 9-foot wide pieces of gold.
Yeah.
They might be. You might have a big idol in your backyard. I don't know. But most of the time, man's idol is actually right here. He worships himself, his own image of God, who I want God to be, how I want God to behave, what I think God would say, what I think God would do. And we begin to worship that, and that will lead us away from the God of the Bible.
Amen.
But in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were commanded by Nebuchadnezzar. He said, when the music begins to play, I want all the princes and the governors and the slaves and the slaveholders. I want everybody when the music plays to bow down. And you're going to worship my idol. You say, well, you know, I don't think that we have that going on today. Spiritually blind. You can't see that going on in our world today. You're blind. It may not be when the music plays. It may not be bow down to this idol. But it submit to something contrary to the Word of God. And I'm not talking about just what happened last week, although that's one of the many things that has went on in this country and around the world. In some countries, it's submit to Sharia law. In some countries, it's don't preach the gospel at all. In our country, it's be politically correct. In our country, it's be nice to people. And don't tell them that there's a heaven and a hell. And that God is real and He is sovereign and supreme.
Amen.
But whatever it is that we're being commanded, if it goes contrary to the Word of God, we cannot bend the knee.
Amen.
I think the Southern Baptist Convention called it civil disobedience. They can call it whatever they want to. I'm calling it obedience to God.
Amen.
God's law can even be seen in nature, Paul said. Even before the written word, Paul said that there is the law of nature that teaches man what is right and what is wrong. The law came, shed a little bit more light on it, and then Jesus Christ Himself came and He really shed light on it because He is the Word. He is the Logos. He is the very Word of God in flesh. He's God. And He told us what to do and what not to do and how to behave and how not to behave. And when we go against Him, we've offended God. And now, we want to get all torn up about the things that went on 2 weeks ago now, I guess. We want to get upset about that. And we should. It's sinful. But there are also things that we don't get upset about that's sinful. Amen?
Amen.
Let me hear that. There are things that we should be upset about that are sinful that we do not get upset about.
Amen.
Adultery. Fornication. Paul said these things ought not to even be named among the household of faith.
That's right.
But yet we just sort of, it's not okay. And as a minister of the gospel, I'm not going to wink at that. And I'm not going to bend the knee and not preach against that. And as a Christian, you should also speak against that.
Right.
Stand against that. This world would have us just bending and bowing every which way. They change their minds so quick that you would just be like a pretzel. And that's how the devil wants you to be. Like a pretzel. You ever seen a pretzel get up and fight back? What's a pretzel do? Sits there, doesn't it? Doesn't put up a fight. It's contorted. Never been called to be a pretzel, to be twisted and to be compromised, to be broken down. We're called to be salt and light. Something that actually has a purpose in this life. To preserve the ways of God on the earth and to clean out the stuff that abscesses and decays the world, and to also shine brightly so that people can see the error of their ways and they'll see your good works and they'll glorify our Father in heaven.
Amen.
But we'll start reading in verse 8 in Daniel chapter 3. Let's read. Verse 8, Daniel chapter 3. So Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't worship, we're going to throw you into a fiery furnace. He thought he was something else. I have a big fiery furnace I'm going to throw you into. Verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Let me tell you, there's an accuser. And he's working through people today. And he will accuse God's people from one end of the earth to the other. He did it to Job. He did it to the three Hebrew children. He came against Jesus. He came against Paul. He'll come against you. You look at that couple out there in Oregon, the accuser began to work through other people and began to accuse God's people. There's a dear brother, I've mentioned this the past couple weeks, I really want you to pray. Brother James McConnell from Belfast, Northern Ireland, pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle, the Whitwell Metropolitan Tabernacle. That is a Bible-believing church. Preaches the gospel. Started with six people. They have 2,600 people on Sunday mornings now. He stood up and said, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. About a month ago, the politically correct police came into his church and said, you're to cease and desist right now preaching that hate. Let me tell you, the accuser will come against you and he'll throw stuff at you that you never thought you'd ever hear anybody say about you. It's going to happen to you. Just know that. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
He's our advocate. When the accuser comes, Jesus is our advocate. He's our lawyer.
Yeah, right.
And he pleads our case to the Father and says, not guilty.
Right.
I took everything. Yeah, he did that, but I took the blame for it. I became that. And we're free. Verse 9. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Let me tell you something. I have some friends that are nominal Christians, you know, and man, somebody will start talking about something, you'll say, oh, that's a sin. God said not to do that. And you use, they're like, oh, they don't say, oh, King live forever, but Asa, come on, 2015, you did different Bible, different day, come on. Enough of that. Verse 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso fall not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, there are certain people of God. There are certain Baptists down there in Johnson City. There are certain Methodists over there in Irwin. There are certain Pentecostals down in Greenville. They won't listen to a word you say. They said, I don't have to do that. That's Asa's version right there. That's my translation. There are certain Jews who thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, they have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods. They don't worship your golden image which you set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? Now, I love how the writer here continually says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their names. Do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at time you hear the sound of cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, that's good. Good for you. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't have to get together and put our heads together. We don't have to take a census to see what we all think. We don't have to come back here and say, now how are we going to word this just right to make sure that the king doesn't get quite offended at what I have to say. Let's go. Now, Shadrach, you look to the left, I'll fake him out to the right, we'll run around and run a wing tee, and we'll run out the prison doors. No, that's not it. They just said, we're not going to be careful to answer you. If it be so, if If you're going to throw me into a fiery furnace, if it be so, our God, not your God, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King.
Amen. That's right there.
Amen. Okay, before everybody gets all excited, starts running the eyes. Hold on. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we'll still not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in their non-politically correct way, with their nice shirt and tie on and jacket and everything, stood up for the king and said, no. If you throw me into the fiery furnace, God is able to deliver us, not only out of the furnace, but out of your hand.
Amen.
But even if I burn to a crisp, I'm still not going to follow you or your God. That's the image of God that we need. That's the relationship with God that we need in 2015. God, you may not heal me of X, Y, or Z, but I'm still going to follow you. God, you may not bless me with the worldly pleasures that I desire, but I'm still going to follow you. Why? Because you're God. He is sovereign. He is king. He is Lord.
Amen.
The disciples put it like this. Where else could we go but to the Lord? The three Hebrew children, I love that verse there. When I was little, we never went to that verse. They didn't want to scare us little kids, I guess. God will deliver us out of the fiery furnace. Let me tell you something. He delivered these people out of the fiery furnace in that. We know the rest of the story. There is a fourth man walking that flame.
Amen.
He said, it looks like the Son of God. Good call. It is the Son of God.
Right.
Called Christology. It's Jesus in the Old Testament. Before he became flesh in the womb of Mary and walked among men, he still represented himself to people at specific times. How people couldn't understand that it was Jesus when he came in the New Testament? Simple. The Holy Spirit didn't reveal it to them. God had a plan to reveal it in his time. And thank God, the Holy Spirit revealed it to me.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for that. But anyways, so Jesus is there. The Son of God is in the fiery furnace with him. Somebody say, I don't think it's Jesus. I don't care what you think. It's the Son of God.
Amen.
It's Jesus. Walking there, and he says, that looks like the Son of God. The first sign that something was up is that they were up walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The people that threw them into the furnace were burned up like that. It was seven times hotter than ever. You know, when persecution comes to Christians, it's hotter than it is at any other time for any other people because Satan is against us. His own people were burned up.
Mm-hmm.
But he's looking, he's peering over, and what kind of sick man Nebuchadnezzar is to look down on a bunch of burning people. And we have people that would love to see the very same thing happen to people today, and they do it to people today.
Amen.
Right. Lost as can be in darkness. But anyways, he's looking over that and says, well, that looks like the Son of God in there. Go fetch them out. So they come fetched out. They don't even smell burnt. Not even a thread is singed. Not a hair on their head is messed up. Nebuchadnezzar had to change of heart. Now get this. When God was ready to deliver his people, God delivered his people.
That's right.
Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did they throw a fit? Did they wail out and cry? Did they act like they didn't know what was going to happen? No, they said, we're going to follow God in there and we'll die if it's his will, or we'll live if it's his will. He's able to do whatever he wants to do, and we're going to follow him because he's our God. They went through the fire. They came out of the fire. What do you think that taught them?
Trust God.
Trust God. The Bible says it will come for us like gold tried in the fire. They literally went through the fire. Nebuchadnezzar said, everybody pay attention. All you governors and princes, you know, call out all the dignitaries. Be it known this day that there's one true God. That's the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Amen.
And from this day forward, we need to honor Him.
That's right.
Amen.
Let God work through you. Let God work through our church. Let God work through us as people together, as individuals, as families. Let God work. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were just simple messengers, simple believers. God didn't call them to arms. God didn't call them to go and picket. God didn't call them to go out and block traffic. He said, just obey me. Obey me. And if we serve Him and obey Him, God is going to take care of us.
Amen.
You say, how is He going to take care of us? A little bit like this. For centuries and centuries and centuries, the church has been persecuted. Yet, do you know how many born-again Christians there are on this earth? And this is counting countries like China and Saudi Arabia, where they can't even get a good count because the government doesn't count them as a real religion. Between 500 million and 750 million born-again Christians on this earth. People that not just fill out a census thing and do it, but church records and church attendance and church, these things like that say there are probably 500 million, 750 million people that call themselves born-again Christians in countries where if they say they're a born-again Christian, they'll lose their head, they'll lose their children, they'll lose their job. These people are not playing about being a Christian. These people truly believe in Christ. Countries like Saudi Arabia, I've seen this past couple weeks that if Christianity continues to grow in countries like Saudi Arabia and the underground church and the churches that are meeting in people's basements and people's houses and shops and the attics and stuff like that pretty soon 10% of Saudi Arabia will be Christian.
Amen.
That seems impossible. When you see the laws in Saudi Arabia that says you cannot save Jesus and born again in the same sentence because it's a death sentence immediately if you try to convert somebody. But somehow, God's winning.
Amen.
God's winning.
Amen. That's right.
Now, if I got up here and said, it's a battle and we're all going to face death today, everybody, yeah, amen. Come on, we're winning.
Amen. Amen.
In the end, there's going to be a great multitude of people in heaven. People from all over the world, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And all these world leaders and all these people that think they have some kind of authority, they're going to see it. And they're going to say, there's those people we tried to get rid of. They still are winning. And we'll begin to bow our knee to Jesus. And we'll worship Him as we've never worshipped Him before.
Amen.
In spirit and in truth.
Right.
And the Bible says when we see Him, we'll have a glorified body. And we'll be able to worship Him how we want to worship Him.
Yes.
Right. There are times that I want to cry where I've cried all I can cry and I can't cry anymore. The tears are gone. There are times I want to shout, woo-woo, Lord, hallelujah, on Sunday night when I get home. But after I preach, the whooping's gone. There are times I want to pray all night long, but I have flesh and my flesh gets tired. Next thing I know, it's 3 o'clock and I'm asleep. But when we see Him, we'll be like Him and we'll be able to bow our knee to Him and worship Him as the Lamb that's overcome the world. And all those people that stand against Him today, they will also bow their knee and confess Him as Lord and Savior of all. And He has the ultimate victory and no one can take that away from Him. Nobody can take it. And it's time for us, and this is probably the last in these series of messages where I've preached on taking a stand. I feel like God's moving me in a different direction and studying everything over the next time I preach. But I want to challenge every one of you that's here to, you know, don't get so worked up over this world. They would love it. Look, let me just show you how it works. They're going to make all this noise over here and do all this, and we're going to be going, you can't do that. And while we're doing that, they're going to be over here doing something else. They're already a step ahead of us. But we have an omniscient God, an omnipotent God that already knows about all that.
Right.
And let me tell you something. He'll give the leaders of this church the plan and the ability to take care of this church. We may be meeting in Ken and Carol's garage. I don't know. But we'll have a place to meet.
Right.
He said, when I return to the earth, he's going to find faith on this earth.
Yeah, right.
How do I know that? Because there's going to be a rapture.
Amen.
And the living is going to rise. So there's going to be some of us live. But even if it doesn't all work out the way that we think that it should, and the timing that it should, and if we go through a lot of more persecution than we would like, so be it. God is with us.
Amen.
He's still in the fire. He's still walking in the flame. You know, there are some people here tonight, they're maybe not really worried about persecution right now or worried about standing for Jesus in time. They have family members that are going through a lot. Jesus is in that fire.
Yes.
There may be some people here looking for a job. Maybe they don't have the job they want. He's in that fire. There may be some people that just feel like sometimes life sucker punches them one too many times in a week. He's in the fire.
Amen.
He is with us. And when we get to heaven, we'll feel just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Amen. Excellent. Bless you. Bless you, Jesus.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. We'll step out of this fire and we'll look over and there's Jesus the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
We won't smell like smoke. We won't smell like sin. We won't be hurting. We won't be broke. We won't be poor. We won't be ridiculed. We will see Him and be like Him as He is.
Amen.
And forever shall we be with the Lord.
Amen.
Musicians, if they'll come. I may be like children of Israel. I may run around Jericho a little bit. Let me tell you something. I dream dreams. I'm a dreamer. Suzanne, I probably scare her sometimes with my dreams. I dream. I remember dreaming when I was younger, standing up behind a pulpit and preaching the gospel. I dreamed this thing. And I remember... just standing before people. And like Joshua this morning, the Sunday school lesson said, you know, you guys can serve your gods.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop you from doing that.
Amen.
But as for me, in the Adams household at 410 North Mohawk Drive, Irwin, Tennessee,
yeah,
we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Christ is the head of our home.
That's right.
He sets the rules there.
Amen.
And then He placed me to take care of my family, and I'm going to do that. By the grace of God. Tonight, if you would stand as they play, if you would like to come and ask God to encourage you and to strengthen you and to embolden and emblazon you so that you can stand, then come. If you'd like to do that in your seat tonight and place a hand on your husband or wife and just say, God, help us, then do that too. But as they play, pray, ask God, what do you want me to do? Please stand.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's just simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, BoomsCreekBaptist.com. www.thefellowshipfortheblind.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.